have been spying on. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with host Joanne Hardesty. Today we'll talk about Multnomah County Local Public Safety Council's recent 500-page report on alleged gang activity in Portland. Be afraid, people.
KBOO Community Radio and the Clinton Street Theater proudly present Nightmares on Wax Live, playing at the Clinton Street Theater as a benefit for KBOO Thursday, July 10th at 7 p.m. Performance comes from a sold-out show at The Refuge in Portland on Thanksgiving evening 2013. If you're one of the lucky ones who made it in, there's a good chance you are on the video. If you missed the show that night, this is a rare peek into a high-energy performance from DJ Ease and the Nightmares on Wax old band. That's Nightmares on Wax live, playing at the Clinton Street Theater, July 10th at 7 p.m. Go to kboo.fm for more information.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African highlife, Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rankin Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks of Sheba show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle. Any week, Thursdays at noon is sure to move ya.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to KBOO, Voices from the Edge. I want to start the program this morning sending out some good vibes to LaToya Harris. You may remember she's the mother of the nine-year-old girl who was arrested by two Portland police officers in North Portland after a fight at the Boys and Girls Club. She is facing eviction today at 9:15 in Multnomah County's courthouse downtown. The reason she's facing eviction is because her family's been targeted by the two police officers who originally arrested her daughter. Because she spoke out publicly, and as what normally happens when she filed a complaint, those police officers decided to start harassing her. So I'm sending good vibes, hoping that your evidence letter will be sufficient for the judge to eliminate that eviction notice that your landlord gave you. I also want to thank a KBOO supporter who last week blew me away by coming in with a big wad of money to support KBOO during the pledge drive. She had promised on the air that she was going to do that and bought me this huge basket of beautiful, beautiful flowers. And so I want to thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you miss KBOO's pledge drive, you still can become a member by going to kboo.fm and clicking the tip jar. And so today I want to start the program by talking about, you may remember a couple of months ago I was a bit bent out of shape because somebody sent me a survey, a gang survey, to assess how bad gangs were in Multnomah County. You'll be happy to know that Multnomah County law enforcement folks, the Local Public Safety Council, that is co-chaired by Mayor Charlie Hales and Commissioner Judy Shipwreck from Multnomah County, released their 500-page report to the media yesterday. I have not, in fact, read all 500 pages of the report as of yet, but I thought it was so intriguing to share with you just some of the bits of this report. And so if you are just joining the conversation, the title of this report is called Multnomah County Comprehensive Gang Assessment. And if you go to Multnomah County's homepage, you will be able to just pull that report up. The report is dated June 30th, 2014. And so there were a few things that just totally jumped out at me. First was the number of gangs that law enforcement say operate within Multnomah County. They have a number of 136 separate gangs that operate within Multnomah County. I'd be surprised if we could find 136 gang members, much less 136 individually identified gangs. But that is what this report says. In addition, what I find interesting is kind of who they talk to in this survey. As you may remember, when it was sent to me, clearly I was not the demographic that they wanted to take this survey and to send in survey results, because the people that they really wanted to talk to were people who are employees who are tasked with eliminating gang activity. So whether they're in a gang prevention program, whether they work for law enforcement that so-called targets gang activity, they really were looking for the insiders, right, to answer these questions. In addition to that, they also had select community quote-unquote leaders that they identified, but they're community leaders were people who are paid at nonprofit organizations to provide gang services, as well as people who are working for either the city or the county in their criminal justice arena. And so even the title community leader is a misnomer, because these are people, again, who are being paid to provide a specific service. So if these individuals said that we don't have a gang problem, then their budgets would be smaller. And so, of course, in their minds, we always have a gang problem. So who are these community leaders? They were 70% white. Two-thirds of them are between 40 and 64 years old. 40% have experience with gangs through their day-to-day work. And so there are a lot of interesting nuggets here. If you want to join the conversation, if you've seen this report or the news media reports about the release of this 500-page document and you would like to join the conversation, give me a call at 503-231-8187. I understand I have a caller on the line already. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to KBOO.
Well, good morning, Joanne. Just for a moment, I thought we could go off on a tangent. You know that I'm an activist, and yesterday I was at City Hall because I was angry that there was no meeting at City Hall, and I found out that the reason was that the mayor was attending a diversity seminar, which sounds good on the surface.
Oh, yeah, the white men leadership at the city of Portland had a required training.
White males only.
Yes, yes. At
you
a cost of
50,000. Could not get in there.
No, it's a cost of $60,000.
That's right.
Right.
So the mayor and two top staffers canceled a city council meeting to go to a white male-only group to sit around and discuss diversity. Now, you can't make this stuff up, Joanne. I don't know who, in heaven's name, in City Hall decided that this was a good idea. Now, Dana, who I understand is the communications director for Charlie Hales,
right?
He makes the statement, well, you know, we need some diversity, and they may run into, somebody that might say something intelligent, and it's worth the $50,000. And I'm not sure if that's per person or for the whole seminar.
No, it's for the
next week.
It's for the contract.
Okay, the contract. All right, let's. Okay, $50,000 for the contract, which includes the police department next week. Now, Chief Reese and Day and all those guys are going to go down to golf course, sit around, and have some coffee and donuts and discuss diversity with other white males. Now, what could go wrong with that?
Well, I mean, if they can enlighten themselves, I'm fine with that. If $50,000 makes them more culturally competent, I'm fine with that. I just don't think that it's going to make them more culturally competent, especially not the current police chief.
No, it's not, and it's not going to do anything for the mayor or the two staffers. If you want to find out about the police department, you would ask a policeman. You know, somebody that knows something. A white male in our society knows only about diversity and stuff that they've read or somebody else has told them because they don't live it. See what I'm saying?
I do
not know what the major problems of diversity is in Portland because I'm a white male. And I go through life very different than people of color.
Well, for 20,000, I would have answered their question. For 20,000, I would tell them, if you look around your office and everybody looks like you, you do not have a diverse workforce. You know, if you can't keep people of color once you hire them, you've got a problem. I mean,
that's
it's not
right.
Rocket science.
You could say that,
yeah.
And you could say it with authority, but I can't say it. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. But that, Joe, I want to talk about this report today. This report,
okay.
this focus.
This report, I'll just say
okay.
One thing about the report is the point that you made is very valid. If you are a nonprofit that depends on your livelihood to keep the gang action going,
right. That
is a problem in itself. And that makes the whole 500 pages suspect. Because if you ask me, as a nonprofit, that I hire all of my friends and so forth to do gang intervention, are the gangs improving? I have a tendency to say no.
Exactly.
Because it's going to hurt my bottom line. And that's what we don't have. And the 70% of white, again, is an indicator of the insensitivity of this administration, including the police department. So
well,
it just goes on and on and on and on.
Yes,
and that's the thing that bothers me. They spend, I don't know how much this costs, a couple hundred thousand, I would imagine.
I would imagine.
And we spent 50 grand on this thing that Charlie Hales is going to. And if anybody thinks that it's going to change his mind in 2.5 days, I got a bridge in Brooklyn.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate your call this morning. I always appreciate your advocacy. And thank you for paying attention. You are one of the shining stars of folks who call it like they see it. So thank you so much for the call. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's a couple of other things I wanted to share with you before I go back to the phone line. This week, I understand, and this is in support of the report. So we have this 500-page report that comes out yesterday. The day before, however, Mayor Charlie Hales announced a federal grant to address gang activity. At the same time, he announced that he was going to be part of the president's Black Boy Initiative at the national level. And this always happens in this way. First, we get federal dollars that are going to put law enforcement at the forefront of this quote-unquote gang problem. And it was around $200,000, the initial grant for police. I suspect that this Black Boys Initiative will have something like $5,000 or $10,000, and we'll call that the community partnership piece. that then requires the community to volunteer their time to work with the police to try to address gang violence. The problem is that no one has a good definition of what a gang is. You look at this 500-page report, they don't identify what gang member characteristics are. They pretty much leave it up to law enforcement to tell them who gang members are. And just like law enforcement have identified 136 gangs, what I know is that if you're a young black or brown boy between 12 and 24, if you walk in the city of Portland, you have to prove you're not a gang member, not that you're involved in gang activity. And that is unacceptable, and it should always be unacceptable. But because the police bureau has a 24-hour-a-day media arm sending press releases out to a media that doesn't investigate, that's what you read in your paper, and you assume that's so. If you want to join the conversation, give me a call at 503-231-8187. Hello, Brian. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well, you know, considering. I'm not going to read that 500-page report.
You're not. I'm going to read every single word of it because I know they're going to swear that it's the best research document on the planet.
That's what's happening, and I'm asking right now that everybody step outside and not to look at this as a conspiratorial type of thing. Look at it as a trend. And I would like all you have to do is look down a few hundred miles and see what happened to Andy Lopez and what has happened in that case down in California where this kid was shot six times. He's carrying a BB gun. Guy got out of the car and shot him six times. And, the policeman is essentially cleared. Mm. And this is all gang initiative, you know. And
yes, yes.
There are gangs. I'm sure there are gangs because we have extreme poverty, you know, and America has gone into a poor, you know, nation, rich and poor, and there will be gangs. Unfortunately, you know, it's being exploited. And all the money's staying on top. It's not going
yes.
to kids, you know,
yes.
black, brown, or, you know, poor white kids. You know, the money's not getting to them. It's staying on top.
No, but we have a lot of money for gang intervention, for police to come in. I mean, that's why the gang enforcement unit rolls out 10 officers to make a traffic stop.
And this isn't gang enforcement, and this isn't policing.
No.
It's the militarization of our police force.
Yes.
And, you know, Joanne, I'll tell you something, and I've told my friends, and they look at me kind of weird, but I was literally shocked after taking a nice spring bike ride this year and going over the north side for the first time in like 6 or 7 months and going, wow, look at all these buildings.
And, yes.
You know, well, I've discussed this with you, I think, on the air. But, you know, the gentrification, you know, is going to demand a militarization of the police force. And, you know, it's going to convolute our society. It's going to bring people in who are paying $1,500 rents and want it, quote, cleaned up, you know, in that area.
That would be a bargain at $1,500. Those rents are starting at $2,500.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you'd find a bargain at $1,500.
I could probably get a basement apartment.
Right. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it's clear. I mean, it's insulting to people of color who had been demanding the city be responsive, the county be responsive to North and Northeast Portland for well over two decades. Once they became responsive, the only response was police action, right?
Well,
and so you bring police in for a decade and have police talk about what a gang-infested area it is. And so you eliminate any ability to invest in the area until after you have pretty much wiped out a community by over-policing. Then, all of a sudden, you sell the buildings, you start fixing up the street, money starts becoming available, but just not for the people who lived there the 10 years ago that were calling for those services to come in.
Well, Joanne, I'm not going to take up all your, you know, space here, but, you know, Portland, it's not, you know, it's kind of, I've looked at it, And this is what's happened in other places that I've lived. You know, Tampa,
right.
Florida. It's happened in Atlanta. It's happened anywhere that, you know, and actually, Portland is kind of behind times on it. And this is the methods that they use. And it doesn't end well. It never has.
Right.
You know, the minorities get pushed out, and the poverty increases, and people's desperation increases. And, you know, I think, you know, again, if we go outside of Portland and see these things that are happening in Portland now, they've happened for years in other places, and even in parts of Portland, you know, they've happened to Pearl and everything else. But, you know, it never ends well. It's not going to end well. And you know, the problem is the progress is not, you know, for everybody in the society. The progress is arming the police to the max.
Right.
And creating a state in which, you know, I need people to, you know, hear this, that we have now in Detroit, we have the UN Human Rights Commission investigating Detroit. I mean,
yes.
Like, I mean,
yes.
if people can grasp onto that for 1 minute and say, wait a minute, this is the society we're creating. And I mean, I think we need to look down south to Honduras and see, is this what we want? Is this is what the 1% want our society to look like in a few years, Honduras, El Salvador. It's going to take a little longer for us to get there, but that's where we're headed, you know, and I mean, I'm getting on my soapbox.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I thank you so much for your call
and
today.
You have a great day.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I want to give you a little bit more data about this 500-page report because I want you to have a sense of... the report said that nearly 75% of all the programs that responded to this survey are currently not filled. What that means is that they have identified in Multnomah County 469 programs that have some gang, either some focus on gang members or preventing gang activity. Out of those 469 programs, 260 of them responded. 37% received private funding. 56% received local funding through the school district, cities, or county. 38% received state funding through either state general fund or the Oregon Health Plan. And 33% received federal funding, such as grants or Medicare. And so that's how we fund gang programs very haphazardly for community-based members. But for the police, we always find federal grants to support our enhanced policing of certain communities. We have several callers on the line. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, hello. My heart's beating. I don't know, my heart's beating kind of hard. I guess because I want to ask you, excuse me, I wonder, is there a connection between gentrification, militarization, and this whole page ad, excuse me, in the Willamette Week, it says religious extremists are coming to Portland this summer to recruit our public school children. I'll read some more and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
A national religious group called the Child Evangelist Fellowship is targeting, excuse me, Portland this summer with an aggressive recruiting campaign. They're bringing in over 100 missionaries from July 14th to 26th to harvest children as young as 4 years old. Their plan is to work with local churches to start after-school good news clubs in our public elementary schools this fall. I'm hanging up by...
Thank you. I don't know if they're connected at all, but I certainly would be a little concerned about religious forces coming to town to recruit kids for something that sounds harmful. But we shall see. I haven't seen that Willamette Week article, but I will check it out or add. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Garrett. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a little bit curious about the number of gangs and who they're targeting, but I do know that a gang was recently shut down two blocks from my house, mostly a white gang, and they were breaking into cars. One of the cars was directly in front of my house with a camera on it. They hit it twice. So I know that there are some out there that are legitimately gangs, I recently drove someone because I take disabled people here and there.
Right.
And one of the people I took she was 15, and I took her up to a facility up in Northwest Portland. And when I took her in, and one of the things that she told me is that she was in there because she was trafficked as a sex slave.
Oh.
And it's very common. And I hope that the gang enforcement is seriously going after that. You don't need tanks for that,
right.
But that needs to stop, because when I got inside, because I had to deliver her directly to the head nurse, there were hundreds of girls in there. All of them had been trafficked. And this is only one facility. So there are some very, very serious problems out there that need to be addressed.
You know, there's question about that. And that's what bugs me when we talk about gangs, because the way we talk about gangs in Multnomah County, the way the police talk about gangs, the assumption is that they're black, that they're between 12 and 24, and that they're running rampant in our community. But anytime I have seen real organized gang activity take place in the city of Portland, it has predominantly been white gangs. I have not seen black gangs operating at the level that Portland police would like you to believe they operate. And so the trafficking is very real. And there are a lot of efforts taking place to address that. But I don't know how coordinated that is with the so-called gang problem. And so thank you. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to stop and be clear about that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. One other thing I want to mention is that I said that they didn't really identify what gang members are. They actually do have an they describe what they say are gang members. So they say a gang... The following criteria are widely accepted among researchers for classifying people as gangs. Well, whenever they say widely accepted, that makes me a little nervous. But the group has three or more members. Well, that could be a family. Members share an identity that typically is linked to a name and often other symbols. Members view themselves as a gang, as they are recognized by others as a gang. The group has some permanence and a degree of organization. The group is involved in an elevated level of criminal activity. So that sounds really loosey-goosey as far as an identification of a gang. So three or more people can make up a gang, which may explain the 137 gangs that Multnomah County police have identified. Because, gosh, three kids walking down the street together is a gang. No wonder we have such problems with gangs in the city of Portland. But wait, they have other definitions. And this is the one that always makes me crazy, because I just read the official definition of a gang member. Now, there's also three other categories: gang involved, gang affiliated, and gang impacted. Gang involved is an individual who directly or indirectly participates in gang activity. Not quite sure how you indirectly participate in gang activity, but that's their official definition. A gang affiliated youth, an individual who associates with gang involved individuals through family or social networks, but does not directly participate in gang activities. These individuals may be involved in prevention, peacemaking, and or intervention. Gang impacted, an individual, family, or community whose quality of life is affected by gang activity. So basically, that would be all of us who live in the city of Portland, are gang impacted. And so that's the challenge when you have these loosey-goosey definitions of gang activity that pretty much allows you to place that label on anybody. And so I would be fearful as a kid walking down the street with two of my friends, because after all, if three of you are together, you could be a gang. So we have some real problems with the public's perception of our children. And this isn't the first year. I mean, every summer, Portland Police comes up with a new scheme to target kids. And it's always around gang activity, reducing gun violence. There's always these really feel-good kind of reasons for this enhanced policing of certain communities. One of the things I did find interesting in this report was it talked about the demographic shift from North and Northeast Portland. It talks about the reduction in the crime rate, except for East Portland, which it said saw an increase in crime of like 26% when the rest of the city was down to 1% increase, which if I didn't know better, I would say that the local public safety council was making the point that once African Americans were pushed out of Northeast Portland into East Gresham, into Gresham in East Portland, that's when the criminal behavior in East Portland started. But what they also identified in this report is the poverty rates that already existed in East Portland. Now, it's interesting that the report doesn't talk about what's missing from community support services in East Portland that could have accommodated the over 10,000 people who had been pushed out into that community. As one of my earlier callers said, it is clear that as gentrification has taken hold as a city priority and all these new apartment buildings are going up, that people who work and live in the city of Portland can no longer afford to live in, we are really becoming a city of the haves and have-nots. And when you have a city core that is too expensive for working-class people to live in, that creates real, real challenges and real real inequity. And so this report talks about all the community partners who participated in this survey. I had no idea there were so many people making money off of the so-called gang label. And so let's see if you know of these organizations as well. Now, I know that the Multnomah County Youth Commission operates as a volunteer youth commission to have input into policy and budgets for Multnomah County and the city of Portland. What I didn't know is that they have a Youth Against Violence Committee, they have a Gang and Police Violence Subcommittee, and they have a Youth Summit Against Violence that they do every year. Crossover Youth Practice Model is a volunteer program that I have no idea what it does. Commercially Sexually Exploited Children Steering Committee. There's a Defend Childhood Initiative. There's the East Metro Gang Enforcement Team. And then there's, don't get that confused with the Gang Violence Task Force, or get that confused with the Gang Enforcement Team, or get that confused with the Gang Impact Family Team. Of course, I talked about the local public safety council, which produced this report. We have the Rockwood Pathways Project, Renew, Rosewood, Rockwood, and Richmond Neighborhood Enforcement Work Group, another police-led team. We have Rockwood Pathways, Rosewood Initiative, which is the community center in my neighborhood, have a program called Strive to Reduce Youth Violence Everywhere, the Sun Service System, and the Youth Development Council. So that's just some of the youth-serving programs that work with the police, supposedly, to address youth gang violence in our community. Very troubling to me that there are so many programs being led by the police, because the police tell us there's a gang problem. Then the police create the solution to the gang problem, which is more police. And then they come out to the community and sell it to us that we should volunteer our time to help them with the gang problem. And so I have a problem with that. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Michael. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hey, Joanne.
Hi.
I'm going to try to tie another problem to the black American problem, and that's the undocumented immigrants, man. And I know you don't like dealing with that, but as these people flood into America, just the fact that they're illegal, by definition, that's a criminal element because they're here illegal. And so everything that they do is done undercover, and they're benefiting. And here's the problem that I have. They're getting all the benefits and helps that we should be getting, the black community, because of all the struggles and all the advancements and all the suffering that black people have done in America over the years. When these undocumented people come to America, they're benefiting from all the things that we've done, and they're getting financial help through welfare. They're getting WICs. They're having babies. And
so, Michael, so a couple of things I want to say. I want to start off with, there's a reason that people come. And a lot of it has to do with U.S. foreign policy. I mean, when we go in and we destroy other people's environment, we take away their livelihood, and then we're surprised that people come over the border in a way that has not been affirmed by the U.S. government. Now, we could also talk about how the U.S. government picks and chooses who worthy immigrants are versus unworthy immigrants. So we could go that tack. Then we could also talk about what would you not do to feed your babies?
Okay,
I mean, so,
all,
you know, there's a lot of different ways we could go with that conversation. So let me first by saying, I disagree that they're taking anything away from black people. I think the people who are taking things away from black people are the same people who've always taken things away from black people. And it's not the recent immigrants. It's not people that are documented or undocumented.
First of all, Joanne, here's the problem. First of all, when they come to America for a better life, America didn't get this way on its own.
No,
America
it didn't.
Okay, so people in America had to make sacrifices and they had to do something about it. Why then don't the people in Mexico, instead of running over here and hopping on the gravy train, why don't they stay there and make things better? Why don't they stay there and fight to change things? Why do they come over here and just jump on the gravy train with no kind of historical investments or anything like that?
Well, actually, the historical investment is that we have part of their land. That's the historic investment. So if we know our history, we know that, you know, that a lot of land in the U.S. actually belongs to Mexico. Explorers just took it. But so I'm not, you know, you're not going to get me mad at people who come to try to feed their kids, especially when I know that the reason most come is because of U.S. foreign policy. So, you know, Michael, it must be another program that you can call and have this conversation, because I'm not going to go there.
Well, you know, then you're going to have to be confronted with it sooner or later, because most of them come here. They're prejudiced against you as a black person.
You know what, Michael?
They don't know any. They have no historical reference.
I agree with you there. Actually, I agree with you there, because in order to be acclimated into America, one of the first things that you have to realize is who's on the bottom of the food chain. And so as immigrants come in, they get acclimated to America. So if you want to be American, what do they tell you? To be American, you got to be more white, right? So So, but that's not the immigrant's fault. Once they learn, they understand. Michael, I'm going to have to go because I've got a very short period of time left. Thanks for the call, though. Hope you're having a great day. And what's coming up on Naboo at 9 is Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell asks, why can't the U.S. help child refugees? And other questions on the news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, a report from the Gaza Strip where Israel launched a major military offensive, and a look at U.S. policy towards Honduras that has caused so many children to head north towards the U.S. At 11 on Between the Covers, local author Polly Duggan talks about her new short story collection, So Much a Part of You. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, we'll hear about the new book, The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change. And we'll join a tour of Oregon cartoon history and get a preview of the upcoming political art show in Silverton. Thank you for listening to KBOO Community Radio, and thanks KBOO members for supporting us. If you're not a member, become one today. Go to kboo.fm and click the tip jar. Back to the phone line. Hello, Ronald. Welcome to KBOO.
Oh, yeah, I was just listening to the gentleman before, and I don't think that's really truly representative of the whole black community, because what I heard this gentleman express was no more and no less than the McCarthyism of the 50s, you know, and the,
right.
And if you really look at, I agree with what you said about the foreign policy, because and then when you have all these targeted killings going on,
yes,
then you look at America going from being a humanitarian nation to exporting arms as being one of their largest exports. And then you see how, you know, we got these wars that are cropping up that are being pretty much generated by the West. So they're actually, you know, that's really creating the they're creating that basis for a lot of people wanting to, you know, go over the borders and try to come here, you know, with the intention of thinking that, you know, like they're going to get a better life.
Right.
And but the unfortunate part is that a lot of these conditions are gradually being created here, just like I was saying, the gentleman who talked about the trends and stuff, you know, things are going across the South. It's not just happening South, but it's happening all around the world.
That's right.
In terms of, you know, the West, you know, intervening into these nations, exporting arms and creating, you know, like a really bad environment for these three people. And so as a black person, you know, like if we really look at this true status of immigration in this country, just everybody's basically immigrants. So,
exactly.
You know, so that's all I had to say, Dave.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye. 503-231-8187 if you want to get in on the end of this conversation. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to KBOO.
Oh, good morning again.
Good morning. I'm good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing well, except that my blood's boiling. Michael and this whole thing, I'll tell you, the city that needs Charlie Hills and the police department, Portland Police Department's program, and that's Salinas, California, where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are that many gangs here, I don't know how many there are in Salinas then.
Right.
Legitimate gangs.
Right.
And how they're approaching it is ridiculous, because that's how it's always been approached, and it's not going to change the thing. And for Michael, I only have two words where he can start his homework. It's called Bracero Program.
Ah, yes.
If he wants to know why, I can tell him why. Because in my generation, right after my generation, a lot of us kids worked in the fields. And around the 70s, the kids growing up then, a lot of the white kids, didn't want to do that work anymore. Now, there were already braceros here, but I can tell you, the people that come over here, they will do the work for whatever they can earn. And they're wonderful, wonderful people, just like everyone.
Yeah,
so.
I just think, you know, I don't think Michael's a bad guy. I just think Michael is just not informed. I think with a little bit more info, Michael would understand that his problem is not with immigrants. It's not, that's not where his problem lies. His problem lies with the people who are in elected leadership who don't do, they talk one way and they act just the opposite.
I totally agree. Absolutely. That's why I said Bracero program, because look at what is going on at our borders right now. People just need to get a little more informed about what's going on.
That's right. And, that's absolutely.
And how it started and why it will.
Which is why I have those conversations with Michael. I try to hang in there with Michael as long as I can. But you know, it's because there are some people who wouldn't call who are thinking that. So I that's why I like when Michael calls, because we can have that conversation.
I agree. I think it's wonderful. And thank you again.
Thank you. Have a fabulous day.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Clotima. Welcome to KBOO. Hello. Hi, are you there? Fatima, are you there? I think we may have lost our caller. Please call back. The number to call, 503-231-8187. One of the interesting questions that they asked in this survey was whether or not parents had any perception of whether their kids were involved in gang behavior. And it was interesting because if you ask kids in school, 25% of kids in school say that, yes, gangs are a problem in their school. Yet 60% of the teachers say gangs are a problem, and 80% of the community says gangs are a problem. So you have to ask yourself, are gangs really a problem, or do we have a media influx of information about just how what's going on with gangs and how bad gangs are, that people have a perception that we have many more gangs and gang activity than we really do? It's interesting that I did not like this survey because the survey assumed that gangs were a problem. So it didn't even start off assuming that there was a clean slate and asked people what the major issues were in the community. And it was all, I still believe, because there was a federal grant that they desperately wanted to write for. And so you can't have a federal grant if you don't talk about how bad the problem is. And that's what this survey is supposed to do, support this comprehensive gang outreach effort. We have callers on the line. Hello, Fatima. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
This morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
Thank you for, you know, all you do for KBOO. And I just wanted to kind of hone back the focus to what you originally had started with, the topic of Portland's crime rate going and increasing. And I just wanted to give you my own little opinion about where I think we should
please
in our community. So
okay.
One of the things that... And also, this just goes back to children on being African American. I also believe
you're
that.
Breaking up just a bit. Are you? Can you get?
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's much better. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. So one of the I wanted to mention three points. One point being that, you know, this is an issue that's impacting our community, and it's obviously causing a lot of hurt amongst the community that we live in. One of the recommendation I have for a lot of folks is, first of all, is to point the fingers back on us and our community and reevaluate our community and try to determine where there is a gap, where there is a system that's bringing those gang members into the community. Where can we fix these issues? Because at the end of the day, the solution, it's what generates the problem. We can't solve a problem when the outcome is already there. And so we have to evaluate as a community. We need to come into the school system and see where those systems are found. You know, the prison system, what's creating the issue, and then take the focus back to our community and point the fingers within us and say, what can we do? At the end, we can't blame ourselves for having our own system. We just have to determine where those things are from. And so, and that's one important question, is to have more policy in our system that can evaluate.
So let me ask you this question. I think that there's a direct correlation between having Portland police officers inside schools as school resource officers and this heightened expectation of gang activities in the school, right?
We try to understand their culture, right? Before you work with folks, you try to understand their culture. African American communities have their own unique culture of how they think about things and what they do. For example, if you're working in a school district, you can't work with parents that are from the immigrant community the same as everyone else, because they have lack of resources, lack of information,
don't know about the American system, and different needs.
So I think instead of putting all these police officers into the school gang, it's how can we engage those communities and engage the family? Because at the end of the day, it's where the environment that you live around. Where can we educate the kids? Where can we educate the community? Where can we educate the families, like the mothers and the fathers, and not just create a solution of bringing more? Because the stereotypes of police officers and just being Portland in general, me being as a youth, we are very intimidated and scared of police officers. Even if we have issues, it's hard for us to kind of call them and say we have issues.
Right. No,
the stereotypes that's associated and the system that's associated, and just seeing our friends and our families suffer of those systems and what has caused them kind of gives us our own mentality. But when you think about police,
you raise a great point. Excuse me for cutting you off, but you raised a great point that I wanted to make sure to highlight, which is when kids are victims of violence, they are less likely to call the police than adults are, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's speaking from knowing people and an experience, and being a youth in Portland and being, you know, a youth of color, it's hard for us to build that trust with police officers. And once we see four or five police officers roaming around, and sometimes some children just end up at the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's right.
And they don't have the chances. They don't have the first chance to explain themselves because the system has already labeled them
yes.
and take their freedom down from them. So I think it's time for Portland and the greater policy decision makers to understand the culture of African Americans and where are we coming from, because, you know, that's the main way to get this gang issue solved, because they're all humans.
Yes.
You know, no one is born to become a gang member.
That's right.
Nobody is just, so it's time to evaluate our community.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Sorry, it took me a
No, you were wonderful, and I would love it if you left your contact info with my engineer, because I do some Know Your Rights training for young people, and so I think it's important that young people understand their rights, but also how to be safe when they're interacting with law enforcement. Because, you know, they have really big weapons and they have a lot of tools at their disposal. And when they start targeting young people in the summertime, it's important for them to know how to be safe. So I want your contact info. I will contact you and see if I can help do some training with some of the young people you know.
Awesome. This is amazing. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Well, thank you.
We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you too, and appreciate you calling this morning. We need your voice here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Nice day.
Thank you. Bye. Don't forget, talk to my engineer. Okay, so as I was talking to this young lady, I was looking at the differences between what school staff say and what students say as far as gang activity. It was interesting that 40% of school staff respondents said there is not a gang problem. School staff do not believe that gang activity has increased. In fact, 66.7% of school staff that took this survey said gang activity was down, not up. School staff were quite varied in their response about when and where gang activity takes place. So it's very, very interesting that we are heightening people's fear at the same time that the people most that are with kids all day, most days, are the ones that are saying gang activity, in fact, is decreasing, and they're having less of that type of activity in the schools. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Hello, Francis. Welcome to K-Boo. Hey, Francis.
I agree that this survey was probably done just as to be a tool for getting more money. But I would like to speak more personally to this whole notion of gangs. And I'm 65 years old now. Since I was 21, an adult, I've been involved with our community and had lived for quite some time in Northeast Portland. And I observed and saw all the different tools that were used by developers to gentrify our community. And my children were probably labeled as gang affiliates, I suppose, because it was impossible for someone in our community and our friends and family not to be at some point labeled a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
What bothers me the most, I've been involved in community activities to deal with the police brutality that continues, and that's what kids keep notice. You know, all this money that's being used for gangs doesn't seem to have resolved anything.
Right.
And if anything, it has perpetuated the violence and has perpetrated violence because of the use of people as snitches and so forth. So what bothers me the most is that our city leaders and the people in our community, in the white community, who know what's wrong and know what's being done and know the racism that is involved, but pretend that they don't.
Right.
Continue to allow this stuff to go on. That is very disheartening to me, and I've watched it for over 40 years now, and I'm really tired of the games that are being played, and people like Charlie Hales really disappoint me, because he knows, he's been around long enough to know what is really happening and how racist and just cruel the police department can be towards young people. And I'm tired of it, and I'm not quite sure. I'm hoping that this judge who is reviewing this
settlement agreement. Yeah, me too.
He may make his decision provide his decision today. I don't know if he will, but I'm hoping he kind of gives them. I hope he tells them about himself. I'm just hoping that will happen.
I hope he does too. Fingers and toes crossed. We'll see. Thank you for your call.
One thing about what Michael said. Can I speak to what Michael said?
Okay, real quick.
Although I disagree, I agree that the reason all these children are coming from Honduras or whatever is because of policies that have been done in their countries. Because no one's going to send their children without adult supervision unless it's really desperate.
Unless it's a desperate situation,
but
yes.
I do see what he's referring to is, you know, the stores, the jobs at Popeyes and McDonald's that young black kids used to get. They don't get those anymore. It's people from Latin America. So I see what he's referring to, but he needs to realize that the people, the powers that be, are causing this to happen.
That's right. It's not the recent immigrants, and I got to go on that note,
right,
because we are out of time. Thank you, Francis. Have a great day. For more information, you can feel free to go to Facebook or my KBOO website page. I've been talking about the Multnomah County Comprehensive Gang Assessment Report. It's interesting reading. Please check it out. See you next week, same time, same place, same station. You have a great day.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up. Fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Good Thursday morning to you. We're about an hour away from Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints on KBOO, an extended report today from the Gaza Strip, where Israel launched a major military offensive, and a look at U.S. policy toward Honduras that has caused so many children to head north toward the U.S. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Leanne Krantz welcomes local author Polly Dugan to talk about her debut short story collection, So Much a Part of You. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, today they feature stand-up economist Yoram Bauman, who's co-authored the new book, The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change, and will join Gus Frederick of the Homer Davenport Project on a tour of Oregon cartoon history and a preview of an upcoming political art show in Silverton. That's all coming up this morning on KBOO. Up next, it's Press Watch. Teresa Mitchell hosting an hour-long edition of the show. Today, why can't the U.S. help child refugees? And other questions on the news you're not supposed to know. Stick around. That is coming up next on KBOO.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the second annual Debtors Assembly Portland on Saturday, July 12th from 3 to 6 p.m. at Holiday Park, located at Northeast 11th and Holiday near the Lloyd Center MAX stop. Hosted by Strike Debt Portland, the Debtors Assembly will be a public gathering of neighbors and community leaders, seeing debt in a new way, one of social justice. Experts will speak on how the debt industries work and how they enable poverty and wealth inequality. And finally, organizers will lead group conversation on building creative ideas for local collective resistance against unjust debts. Again, at Saturday, July 12th at 3 p.m. in Holiday Park.